Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask Alice Show. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, your host, Alice Badler, answers everyday questions with her unpredictable, interactive, spontaneous, and engaging style. You can easily ask your questions, share your thoughts, and join the conversation by calling into the show at Blog Talk Radio. Alice is waiting for you. From the smallest things to the deeply profound, the Ask Alice Show is the place to ask your questions and get real answers. Here's your host, Alice Badler.
Hello, everyone. It is so nice to have you all here with me. We have another great show planned tonight, and I do hope all of you will join me in the conversation. So for our callers, press 1 on your phone to get into the queue to speak to me. You know I want to hear your voice. And as usual, we have lots of people in the chat room. We love your questions and comments, so bring it on. And now, let's talk about our fabulous men. There was a time not so long ago when women couldn't vote or work or even go to college. Their jobs were to marry, stay home, and take care of the families. The women's movement changed all of that, and that's a good thing, as so many women felt unfulfilled. But soon there was unrest. It was almost as if men became the enemy, as women fought for more prestigious jobs, equal pay, and became able to take care of themselves financially and in almost every other way. Even I can change the oil in my car. Oh, wait, I meant I could put the oil in my car. Not that I have any desire to do that. Trust me. Anyway, women wanted total equality with men. They even wanted men to be able to communicate with us the way we as women communicate. But men and women are different. We are different physically, physiologically, and emotionally. We can never be truly equal. And why would we want to be? Equal means the same. As all of these changes were happening for women, men just sort of moved along with us, confused, not really knowing what their roles were anymore. This dynamic has changed the way men and women interact with each other in all things. It has definitely changed the dance of finding and falling in love with a mate. I think this is why courtship has become a lost art. But here's the thing. Men need to be needed. Men need to feel like the provider and protector. Men need to feel appreciated and valued. They are built that way. This has been ingrained in them for almost 200,000 years as the hunters of our species. And as women, we can certainly give this to them, even in our wonderful roles where we are so strong and capable. How hard is it to notice all the delightful things that a man brings into our lives, rather than paying attention to the things he is doing wrong? How hard is it to let a man know when he does something that has added value to your day, to your life? And I am not just talking about love relationships here. I'm talking about the way we treat all men, from the men we work with to that man who might be serving you dinner at a restaurant. Even young boys need to feel admired. A woman who shows a man how much she appreciates him, values him, and respects him gets all the great gifts a man can bestow on a woman. Men are fabulous. They really are. They need us to see that. We, the women, are the ones who can bring out the best in them. Now that's powerful. So, that's what's on my mind. And now it's your turn. Feel free to ask a question or make a comment about anything. We really do want to hear what you have to say. And now I am going to turn it over to our executive producer, the phenomenal Andy Lyons. Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Alice. Good evening, listeners. I'm waving and I'm blowing everybody kisses from Boston. And of course, as a mother of two wonderful young men, this is such a delicious topic, Alice. Thank you. What prompted you to go down this road about how fabulous our men are?
Well, as everybody knows, I'm sort of the research queen and I've been doing a lot of work on myself. And it's very interesting. About 2 years ago, I decided to put my energy into the differences between the male and female brain so that I could better understand men, so that I could communicate better with men. You know, everybody knows I'm a single woman looking for the great love of my life. And I wanted to learn this. And of course, I've always loved men. But I didn't realize that without meaning to, unintentionally, I was doing a lot of things that were not making men feel as fabulous as I felt they were. So that's actually where that came from. I mean, typically with all my monologues, I start in one place and seem to go down a whole nother path. But that's just the way my mind works. But I think it's important.
I do too. And I think a lot of advertising now, they tend to make our men look stupid or idiots or why can't they do better? And I think it's important that, you know, we all remember that the back in the caveman days, right, you know, the pre-human ancestors really, you know, running and leaping after some creature through the dark, dense woods with no regard for the nettles or even style of footwear. I mean, those are the highly focused, you know, men that we have today. And that's important. Those are our big, beautiful guys. And we have to remember that's what we love about them and how wonderful they make us feel. So we have a wonderful caller. She loves to chime in every week with her deliciousness. And I thought I might bring her on now. Would that be good for you, Alice?
I would love to know who this is.
I know. And this is Michelle.
Oh, Michelle Guzler. She is such a wise, evolved, wonderful lady. I'm really thrilled to have you on, Michelle. Speak up.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well,
great to be back. So I was thinking about during your monologue how you and I think, share in common that we are both very strong and independent women. And I certainly know that over the course of my life, I have used that probably as a way to push men away, really need men in my life. In fact, I remember saying that I don't need men in my life. And so how do the strong and independent women like us really get out of that space to be able to show our men just how much we appreciate and love them and that that doesn't take away from us and our independence?
I think that's a wonderful question. We are, because I agree with you, I know you personally, and we both are very strong and independent women, but that doesn't take away from the feminine side. And I think that's where a lot of strong women get a little confused. Maybe they're strong in the boardroom and they bring that home with them, when what they want at home is the beautiful feminine side, the nurturing side, the soft spot, the part that does need a man. We tend to, because we can change our own light bulbs and, you know, I'm even good with power tools. Well, I actually love power tools. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't allow our men to do that for us. Like, let's bring out the feminine. I think we do have to learn that, though. Relearn that. Let me put it that way. We have to relearn that. But anybody can if they choose to. I think you have done some work there yourself, Michelle.
Absolutely. In fact, my love and I were just talking about that last weekend, and I was telling him how much I love when he opens the door for me, that it makes me feel so cherished and appreciated, and how in my past, it hasn't always been like that. I would be very defensive. I can open my own door. And so it really was relearning that the gallantry of our men is not about thinking we're not capable. It's around cherishing us instead.
I think you're
right.
I love that word.
I love that word, cherish, Alice. I really do. And thank you, Michelle.
Well, I love that word, too. And I'll tell you, it comes down to, for me, something very simple. I think that men, if they could choose a couple of words that they would like for us to be for them, would be respected, appreciated, admired. Women want to be cherished and adored, right? I think we love those words. I love that. Yes, love it.
I do too, Alice. I think that allowing our men to gift us with their delicious protecting and providing and natures, it opens up the space for them to be actually more of who we'd like them to be for us, rather than one of my dear friends, Karen Jones, and her mentor, Alison Armstrong, says it's when women want our men to be hairy women, you know, reading our minds, picking up on subtlety. And I don't know, Michelle, if you were talking about that with your loved one, but you know, that's not something they really value.
Well, I have to say, and I know Michelle agrees with me here, I think Alison Armstrong, her work is so phenomenal. I think she is brilliant. And I actually believe that every man and woman, heterosexual man and woman, should be reading her works. Brilliant in the tools that she gives people, couples, to communicate properly with each other, because that's where we have a hard time. And a little later in the show, I actually have some examples of how we are different in our minds, in our brains. We really are different. This is, you know, science, and how we can maybe communicate a little better. But we all love Alison Armstrong.
And listeners, you can go to understandmen.com to learn more about Alison.
You can, although, if I may, some of her works are not on there because she gives live workshops. And one of my favorite workshops that she gave was called Celebrating Partnership. You can go to Amazon and you can get the audio for that workshop and download Audible for free. And I'm not sure, $17, $18 for her weekend workshop. And another book that I think is very difficult for most women to read, I think maybe you have to get to a certain place, is called The Queen's Code, which is just all about how to view a man that way and how to treat a man a certain way. I mean, men really puff up. They do. They puff up like beautiful peacocks when we show appreciation. And again, I'm not talking about just in a love relationship. I'm talking about in the world. It's quite amazing. So, yeah, I think that you can find some of her stuff on her website, but she's got a lot going on Amazon, too.
Well, that was a great lead-in with Michelle.
Is Michelle still with us?
She is.
Anything to add, Michelle, with your great wisdom?
I think you have captured it all perfectly. I can say for myself, when I was ready for the Queen's Code, that absolutely changed my life and changed my relationship with men. But you have to be ready for it.
Yeah, you really do. I think there's a lot of women that would read that book and get very turned off. So I would suggest maybe not starting there, but it changed my life as well. It's really quite profound in helping us see what we just can't see. So, Michelle, I want to Thank you. I love when you come on. Come on every week. You're the best.
I will, my dear. I will talk with you next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Alice, we have some chatter going on in the chat room, as happens every week. It's a vibrant group there. And the guys are saying that, you know, they have a little difficulty accepting compliments. Why is that, do you think?
Because they're not used to it. Because, you know, I know some women that have a hard time with that as well. I think that we humans tend to think that there's an arrogance almost about seeing the value in our in ourselves, which is hogwash, everybody. So I think that the accepting of compliments doesn't come from that we don't see value in ourselves. It's that we've bought into this whole thing where if we see the value, if we talk about our value, like it's fine to say, let's say you're good at math. It's fine to say I'm good at math, but it's not so fine in our society to say, you know, I'm valuable. I'm fabulous. So let's start a new trend, everybody. We're fabulous. We're valuable. But I think that's where the accepting of compliments really comes from. I think that these people definitely do not have lack of value.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe it's being uncomfortable with not being sure if the compliment is real. Because, you know, sometimes women can be flirting and insincere. It's happened occasionally. And maybe that's why our men have picked up on a compliment perhaps not being sincere.
Well, that might be. I think there's probably a number of reasons. I think when I was younger, I wasn't so good at accepting compliments either. And I'm trying to remember why that is. I almost felt embarrassed when somebody would compliment me, but I think that's because I wasn't used to it. You know, I wasn't used to being complimented, or maybe I hate to say it, maybe I didn't see my value.
Right.
So and it's I think hard that to know.
Yeah, I think that ties in, Alice, with a comment in the chat room from Laura, which is, don't all people want to be needed and need to be wanted, whether they're male or female?
That's absolutely true. And that's why a little later in the program, I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about the differences in the way men and women process information. So, of course, women need to be needed, but they need to be needed a little differently. And we just talked about that. Women need to be cherished. Men need to be appreciated and respected. Not to say we don't need to be that as well. But from a primal standpoint, if we can just choose a couple of adjectives, I think women would rather be cherished and loved and adored. And men feel love by being respected and admired. Women feel love by being cherished and adored. That might be a better way to say it. We all want to feel needed. Of course we do. But that feeling of love for each of the different sexes comes from a different action.
Right.
That's where I was going.
And that's a really good point. It brings up something that we all, you know, have to remember too, is that men do not like to be criticized. They'd love to, you know, they do love to help and be appreciated, but, you know, and to be asked, can you help me solve a problem or may I help you with something? But being criticized is a little tough. Right, Alice?
Well, you know, none of us like to be criticized, but for sure men, you know, don't do well with that. And there are ways, that's a whole other show is to talk about. how to talk to men and how men should talk to women. But there are absolutely ways to express a desire that a woman might want from a man without sounding like we're criticizing them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be criticized either, you know?
No, and we don't want our problems fixed for us. We just want that listening ear, right?
Yeah. That's one of the differences. That's absolutely one of the differences that we'll get into. That's very true. It's
in the chat room, Alice, Jamie has a wonderful comment. She says, men have different values. Most men in a loving relationship do cherish their partner and love pleasing their women by doing typical man work, yard work, maybe car maintenance, home repairs, etc. And most thrive on compliments. I really agree with Jamie.
Well, she just sort of proved my point, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That right there, what Jamie mm-hmm. has described, is a man who, if this is her man, I don't know who she's talking about, but this man does all that and the woman appreciates it. You know, a lot of men might do the yard work and do all these things, the home repairs, and it's more that it's expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not appreciated for it. There's no thank you, darling. There's no, wow, you know, there's none of that. So absolutely, that's brilliant, Jamie. Thank you. That's exactly what we're talking about. And the interesting thing is that when we give men that appreciation, that admiration for doing the yard work and the car maintenance and all of that, just like Jamie said, they do cherish us in return. That was kind of where I was going with my monologue. When we give men what they want, wow. Wow, what they give us back. It's amazing when we can get that together. Anything
That's
else
right.
going on in the chat room? Or?
Oh, well, we have, speaking of one of my favorite people about men, Karen Jones has called in to add her amazing wisdom to the conversation, and I'm so thrilled to have her here.
Well, I would just like to say before Karen speaks, if I may, Karen Jones, I cannot believe how thrilled I am that she called in. You guys listening, Karen loves men, and she has a million videos on YouTube where she talks about them. She's, I believe, in my eyes, one of the experts in this field. Oh, thank you so much for calling in, Karen. Please do share some wisdom with us.
I'm so happy to be here, and I am so happy that you are doing a show devoted to how great men are. Yay!
Yay!
and how brilliant to do it on Veterans Day.
Mm.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Karen, one of the things you taught me that was so helpful in my relationship with my darling man was the woman's meadow report versus getting to the point in the conversation. Because my husband, the minute I start to tell a story over dinner, and maybe women listening can relate, my husband's eyes begin to roll and he's asking, could you please get to the point? Would you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, so first of all, and Alice, I caught a little bit just as I was dialing in about what you were talking about, you know, when men do things for us and we appreciate them, just how much that's a upward spiral kind of experience, right? They can't do enough for us when they're getting that essential fuel, which is appreciation from us. But what Andy's talking about is, and it's really tied to this, you know, they want to do a good job. Men are wired to protect us and to provide for us, and they're oriented around jobs, right? What does the win look like? What is this job about? How do I succeed at this, right? They're always a sort of goal-oriented. It's a very masculine thing. Get to the end result and have a win. So when they're listening to us, they're listening for the point, they're listening for their job, they're listening for where can they contribute. So they're really listening. I think it's just a great way to think about it. They're listening for the point. Now, we as gals typically when we're talking, there's so much going on. We talk to connect, we talk to feel safe. There's a lot of stuff going on. Generally speaking, not much of a point. One way to save the day here is to, before you start, depending on what's going on, you can say to your man, okay, honey, you know what? I'm just going to talk for a while because I really feel like just, if I don't talk, I'm going to explode. So you don't have to do anything. You know, just nod and look at me. But really, I just want to share this stuff with you, and there is no point. And when he gets that there is no job except just to listen, he can relax. He's fine. Now, don't ask him to repeat anything you said because he probably can't. But you get what you need, which is that connection. He's there with you. You're just letting all this stuff out before you explode. That great partnership there. Great partnership.
That is. That's a wonderful point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you find that you've forgotten that and you notice that you're trying to talk and he's interrupting you and he's, you know, trying to solve something that isn't really even needing to be solved, just remember, oh, wait a minute. He's trying to do his job. Oh, hang on. And because he's not doing anything wrong, in fact, he's doing something that you actually value and you want him to keep doing. So if you have gotten yourself into a pickle with him, just say, oh, God, oh, honey, hang on, sorry. What would really be great, you know, what I would love, what I need, right? But keep him out of hot water. Don't have him feeling like he's screwed up. They don't have a lot of tolerance for that. They've got a little bit of it. Right. They'll take something on, and we know that they're bold and they're brave and, you know, they're courageous, but they also need to know that they're going to win at some point. And when something becomes or has the sense to them that it's going to be futile, they stop trying. So for any women who are listening who have experienced this really discouraging and kind of heartbreaking thing of, well, he used to be so, you know, fill in the blanks, so cooperative or so helpful or so generous, and he's, what, where did he go? Well, there could be something here with, he's been treated like there's something wrong with him instead of appreciating what, and going back to your point, Alice, you know, that mm-hmm. how important appreciation is for them. So, anyway.
And just to add on to your wonderful point, often a man will break up with a woman and you ask why, you know, why'd you break up? Everything seems so right. Everything seems so good. And I've heard men say, you know what? Because I just can't give her what she wants. And what's so interesting is she doesn't even realize that she's making him feel that way. He's not getting the win.
Yeah,
and that's very sad, but I think it's such an important thing to look at. That's why we shouldn't nag. That's why we shouldn't complain. It's better to come at them with, actually, I think personally, it's better to come at them if there's a discussion that needs to be had, rather than coming at them complaining or nagging. Come at them, you know, with the issue and have some solutions. Because men love solutions. They are problem solvers. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And then you give them their wins right there. Here's how you win, honey.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to that. I mean, I'm guessing that for people who've been together for a long time, or at least I'm hoping that this is true, their expectations are actually aligned with his capacities and what he's interested in providing. Because that's a really tough disconnect, right? To have expectations not able to ever be matched by what a man can and is interested in doing. But, you know, that's another topic altogether. But when
there's a whole show within this show. There's always a whole show with three or four shows within my shows. But, yes. It's a whole
right, you touch one
just,
thing, it's like pulling a string. All of a sudden, whoa, this
yeah,
is unraveling,
I mean,
there's all kinds of...
Well, there's a whole show that we could have about just how to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Well, we could
yeah.
have 12 shows on that. But you've got some great videos on that, actually, if people want to check that out as well.
Yeah, thanks. I've had a lot of fun with them for a long time now, and I try to make them quick. because, you know, we know about people's attention span lately. And
about
so
3 minutes,
yep. Usually. Yeah.
Yep.
And Karen, you have a great book out too, which is, you know, Men Are Great. And it's so helpful in helping other, you know, helping us all understand the gender bias that goes on every day towards men, very on a very unconscious level. And it, you also help us find better ways to have the best relationships with men. And where can folks go and find your find you, Karen, and also where on YouTube, because your 2-minute videos really are so delicious.
Well, thank you. So to find me, my website is theheartmatters.com. There's a whole tab there for the book, which is Men Are Great. Somebody can also find it by just going to menaregreat.com, and it'll end up on the same spot. So anyway, theheartmatters.com is my website. And then for all of the YouTube videos, just, you know, youtube.com/CoachKarenJones. And you will see all the, I don't know, there's probably a couple hundred videos in there at this point.
Well, and they're wonderful. And I can't thank you enough for calling in. What a delightful surprise. This was not planned, everybody. I feel honored that we're so early in the, in our evolution and journey in the Ask Alice show to have you call in, Karen.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, listen, this is an irresistible, wonderful, important topic. And, you know, it's, I want everybody to be on a campaign to advocate for men, to see their greatness, to relate to their greatness, to, you know, always assume the best. Even if the execution leaves something to be desired, there's always great intention behind it. If you start off with that assumption, you're going to be in such great shape. Anyway, that's my final thought as I bid you good night. Thanks for the visit.
You.
This is fun.
Thank you, Karen, really.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay.
That was fun. That's a
wow.
Nice surprise.
Well, you know, she's all about women having scrumptious relationships with men, and I think that is a worthy cause because, you know, the relationships and you know, heterosexuals, what we're talking about here and in this conversation, you know, to have them go on, Alice, year after year, you need to have a deeper understanding of yourself, which is what you're always talking about, and of your partner. And I think the thing I took away from Karen's comment was good partnering. You know, you're in it together and you're in it to win it.
Absolutely. Right. So we are in it to win it. And I think, well, I'll get into some other topics about that in a little while. If we have any more comments, let's go with that first.
We do. We have some great, great comments. And, you know, other than, you know, people talking about mowing the lawn and doing dishes and things like that.
I don't think any of us like that.
You know, and Laura was asking or commenting about, you know, do men consider these typical men's work? Are they offended, as many women are, about doing women's work? Wow, what a great question and comment, and kind of bundled up in one. What do you think, Alice?
Well, interestingly enough, I don't think that's the problem. I found that the men in my age group that I'm meeting are very adept at housework, maybe because they've been alone a while. I don't know, but they're very adept at housework. In fact, most of the men I like wouldn't change their own oil either. I don't think that's really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about social roles. Even I consider myself a traditional woman, by the way, which nobody would guess. But the social roles I'm talking about is not that. It's more about, in the heterosexual world, we sort of touched on this a little last week, it's more about the way we treat each other, the roles we take on. I do want to be feminine, and I do want the male to have the masculine energy. It doesn't mean he has to, like, pick up boulders or be big. It's just the energy of the masculine and the female that I think is part of who we innately are. And that's where things got muddled. And that's where men got pushed aside during the women's movement. And, you know, prior to that, it was the other way. You know, women were property. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's how do we get together now? How do we make it so that men and women are comfortable in their roles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and Tom, you know, jumping on top of that, Tom from the chat room says, do we need to feel valued by others to feel we have a purpose? Ooh.
Well, yeah. I think that we should all have a purpose outside of another human being. I think we all need to have a purpose and a passion for ourselves. Given that, as humans, we were meant to bond with another human. We were built that way. So I think, I don't think that makes us feel more valuable. Some people it does. I know some people who think they're nothing without a man or a woman in their life. And, you know, I'm actually a little sad for them that they feel that way. But I think we all love having that bond. But that's different than feeling valued, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not bonded right now in that way, in a romantic way to anybody. And I don't feel alone. I feel single. I don't feel alone. I don't feel less valued. But I certainly love the idea of, you know, that happening again in my lifetime. Certainly a nice thing. So I hope that answered the question.
Well, and I think what happens too is there's a point of being a people pleaser and wanting to help people, right? It can get unhealthy for you versus a deeper need to, you know, just do right by people. How do you know the difference if you're people pleasing or if you're just being a really good person who values helping others?
Well, that's interesting you bring that up because I'm actually writing a monologue as we speak called Compromising versus Settling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of the same concept. I think when you are stuffing your own needs down in order to provide for other people, then you're people pleasing, then that's not healthy. That is never healthy to say yes, yes, yes. And let's say someone's moving and they ask your help and you had something else important to do that day and you put your needs aside to help that person, I find that unhealthy. So that's how I would be able to tell. You have to take a look at that. Do I really want to do this? Am I doing it just to make someone else happy? Does it make me happy? Look, certain things, we have certain responsibilities, obviously. But beyond that, just ask yourself those questions. You'll know. You'll know in your gut. We all know.
I love that. Well,
we've talked about being selfish. I mean, that comes up a lot, too. Selfish is a healthy thing. It's self-involved is not. And that's another thing in our society. We hear the word, so this person is selfish. No. Selfish is not the same as self-involved. Selfish means taking care of self. That's what it means. And we all should be taking care of self. Because if we don't, then we're not good to anybody else. So absolutely, you need to put your own needs.
So go do that spa treatment when you need it.
Yeah, right? Repeat, repeat. I repeat a lot of things. But that's because we got to drum it into everybody's head. You know? Got to get it. Not feel bad about serving yourself. And remember that when you serve yourself, you're serving others.
Right. And then when you ask, using real words about what you need instead of inferring or skirting around the issue, I think a lot of women should run Valentine's Day. You know, they should just set that holiday up and say, honey, you're off the hook. I'm in charge this year. just to make sure they get the right everything in place the way they want it, because, you know, the poor guys run around like crazy buying stuff for the gals, and at the end of the day, you know, is it that important? What do you think?
I don't even like that holiday. I think that holiday should be like totally taken away. It creates so much pressure and so much stress, and it's just a day. It's just a day. Mm-hmm. If throughout the year, if you're coupled up and throughout the year you're showing your love and appreciation in whatever way you're doing, why do we need that day? For the woman has all these expectations. She's going to get the diamond ring and the man, and forget single people. Wow, they go into this deep depression. I don't love that holiday. and I don't need all that pomp and circumstance. Usually when I've been in relationships, I like to discuss all things, but way far in advance. I like to have a conversation with the man and ask him how he feels about Valentine's Day. And I do have to say that the majority of the men that I have dated hate that holiday. And lucky them, right off the hook, I take them. I say, you know what? Fine. You know, have it a little card or nothing at all. If it's on a Saturday night, we're going to see each other anyway, we'll have dinner and celebrate. But I'd rather discuss it up front. And if a man says, I would like to give you something, I don't know what, then you know what? I go with your plan, Andy. Fine. Let me take over. Give me your credit card. I'll buy myself a gift. Book us dinner. Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Hey, right? And what happens too is, you know, especially if the guy, like the prior year, they really like nailed it, right? They just did it all wowed. Okay, they're not going to win the next year, because how do they top themselves like that? And since they love to make you happy. And here's something that's really important, Alice, is men are not on-demand romantics. Look at our wonderful romantic musician Eli. He's a great example of providing beautiful, delicious romance, but he does it as he's called to do it. And it works beautifully for those of us who get to listen to his music and hear his wonderful words. But, you know, in his own relationship, when you allow that your darling man to be, wow, you're going to get gifts and deliciousness all year long.
Well, I've been very blessed. I mean, I talk to a lot of women who have a lot of, you know, not such nice things to say about their past exes. And not that all mine have been so perfect. But I have to say that I tend to attract men that are romantic, that do treat me really well in that regard. So, again, the bar is set pretty high for me. So a lot of men, they are romantic. They do want to do things for us. They just don't want it to be expected. They want to do it when they want to do it. And that's why Valentine's Day is just such a tough holiday, because it's expected. It's better if they get to do it because they want to, not because somebody decided. And by the way, I love to get on my little rants. By the way, that holiday was never intended to be Lover's Day. It's some saint's holiday. And all of a sudden, you know, we did the same thing with Christmas. That's a religious holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, a lot of pressure there too. It's all about Christmas trees, Santa Claus, and gifts. And we do that. So Valentine's Day is not even about that. I don't know how it got there. Hallmark. I blame Hallmark. It's a communist plot to make us buy their cards.
You know, Alice, I'd love our listeners, because we get a lot of listeners live, of course, but we also get them in your wonderful Facebook group, the Ask Alice Show Facebook group. And I would, you know, anybody listening to this in the replay, I would say, please hop onto the Facebook group and let us know what you think about Valentine's Day and on-demand romance.
I think that might be a great question I might pose tomorrow. I think it's great when people listen by replay. We do have an amazing Facebook group. And anyone that's not part of that, if you're on Facebook, you really just have to type in Ask Alice Show in that little search bar and it'll come up. it is a great group, and I love the conversations. And I really love when we can take a show and continue the topics within the topics that we keep finding. If we don't have any questions of magnitude, kind of like to talk just for a little bit about some of the differences that I'm talking about, the way men and women process information different. Karen brought a few up, but I think that might be kind of useful to any men or women listening. So first, before I go into that, I would like to say that nothing is finite. Obviously, when we talk about this conversation, which, by the way, I'm a nerd. I'm a real science nerd. If you people haven't gotten that yet. I go on random thoughts about sharks and all kinds of things coming up in my brain. So this is scientifically proven, looking at the male and the female brain. But it doesn't mean that all men are the same and all women are the same. The second thing that I want to make a note of is that it's also been shown that the brain of a heterosexual is different than the brain of a homosexual. So, and especially, by the way, more so in homosexual men and heterosexual men than in homosexual and heterosexual women. So some of these things that I'm going to talk about might not resonate with, I have a beautiful gay following that I love very much. And I feel a little uncomfortable when I talk about topics where they feel a little left out, but that's how that goes sometimes. And so again, this is a little bit more about heterosexual men, but first of all, one of the things that's very important to note is that men are very single focused. When a man is focused on his work, his golf game, watching football, cooking, he is really in the now, which I kind of like that about men. They are so in the now. They are so focused. Whereas women are multitaskers. And Andy, you could probably agree with me on this. There have been times I have been on the telephone, typing an email, polishing my nails, and looking over my daughter's shoulder to make sure she's doing her homework, and I don't even break a sweat. So that's just how that goes. And so one of the tips I can give to women is that when your man is focused on something, and you might not notice it, maybe he's got something going on at work, he's coming home, it's still on his mind, he's sitting in his chair, he's not really chatty. One, don't take it personally, it's not you. And two, that's not the time to ask an important question. That might not be the time to ask any question, because he'll just say, yes, dear. So that's important. The other thing, and Karen sort of brought this up, about men needing to win. Men really are problem solvers. And the whole idea about when a woman talks to a man, he wants to kind of get in there and solve that problem. So maybe we have to ask him to just let us vent. But what's interesting about men and their problem-solving skills is that they view all problems the same. So maybe a man is trying to perfect his golf swing or build a piece of furniture or has a problem with his partner. He will look at them all the same way. They're all problems to solve. So I think that's also very interesting. I'm sorry?
I was just saying yes and yes, and I agree. It's amazing.
Well, it is amazing. And again, I wish I made this stuff up. I wish I was this brilliant, but I didn't. it's research that was done. Everything I know is just because I research people that already know what they're talking about.
Which is a great way of repurposing their content, Alice. You bring your wonderful view of the world and your own personal understanding and growth around the content and the subject. So I would not discount it.
No, I don't discount it, because the only way to learn all of this is to research, and I work very hard at all the things I love to know. You know, the good thing is I love to know them, so I guess it's not that hard. But another thing that's interesting is that when men need to think through a decision, when they need a decision to make, they prefer to think it through on their own in solitude. Any women who have been with a man who wanted to buy a stereo system knows what that's about. They're in every store looking at everything, and they really don't want our help or our advice. And the difference with women, and Karen sort of made this point, is women prefer to talk things through to get to the solution. So that's another thing. And also kind of in that same realm is that women tend to dissect everything to death. And men don't love that so much. Mm-hmm. So what I've learned is to call my girlfriends to dissect to death with them. So that by the time I talk to the man, I don't have to tell him every ridiculous detail, because they don't love that so much. and actually the reason for that, there's more kind of to that, there's more to everything, is when men speak, and Andy, you could tell me this about your darling husband, I noticed this myself, but again, I didn't make this up. When men speak, They tend to, the majority of them, I've known some that this wasn't true, but they tend to speak succinctly. They get right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Women, we're a bit chatty. And that's another thing we need to kind of maybe do more with our girlfriends. I have a little issue with that I have to work on. get a little chatty there. But men don't love that so much either.
Yeah, what? You know what I find in my household too, with two young men and my husband, is women are very fluid with their emotions. One minute we're feeling, oh, that's so wonderful, joyful, and then we're like crying over something else, and then we might get a little angry about something else, and then we're back into even keel, and the guys just look at us, oh, what is the matter with you? And I remind them, I say, hey, I'm a woman, I'm a girl, I'm a female, this is how we move, and you need to be aware too on your end that this is how we move about the planet. They're always looking, staring at me sometimes, like, how do you do that?
Well, there's actually a reason for that. There's a real reason for that. That's because
my scientist.
Women, yes, I'm the science nerd. See, you all thought I was just a pretty face. So the reason for that is because women can distinguish between their emotions. Women know when they're angry. Women understand when they're sad, when they're angry, when they're jealous, when they're frustrated, when they're hungry. Men, not so much. Men know they're uncomfortable, but they can't always distinguish what that's about. I mean, seriously, a man might think he's hungry when he's sad. And that, again, we talk a lot about nature versus nurture. And absolutely, nurturing has a lot to do with the way we are. But the brain says that men, that's what goes on in their brain. So unless they're brought up differently to understand their feelings, that's the deal. That's what we have to work with. And again, we can't turn them into hairy women.
No.
So we can't. They don't know what they're feeling all the time. And sometimes, you know, maybe they can get to that. So, but I don't know that they care so much. You know, they don't like being uncomfortable, and they want to get comfortable.
Right.
And, you know, really on that same track is that men don't like to ask for help. So if they're feeling uncomfortable, they might not tell their partner. You know, they might not, you know, we know they're feeling uncomfortable because they're not acting right. And there's a big joke. We all know, I think, where I'm going with this, that men never ask for directions.
Right.
Thank God for GPS, right? And what's very interesting about that, too, is the male mind is actually much better at directions than the female mind. So maybe that's why they don't like asking, because they know they should know. Then they take that as before GPS. I don't know if any of you listening, but they used to take these big maps out. It was like, please, we've driven around in how many circles? Please just ask. But
I have to tell you a story, please. And I'd love to hear what women said. So I was off at some event, Alice, and I asked my darling man if he could take care of making some reservations that needed some flight reservation. And 3 hours later, you know, he came back, and he came back with a reservation that, of course, I would never have made, you know, up at the crack of dawn, you know, arriving home way late at night, but it wasn't for me, it was for him. And then, of course, I was like, 3 hours? What took you so long? But I didn't say any of those things. And he got a really great price on the airfare, okay? And again, you know, I think I would have had that happen within 20 minutes tops and better flight times. However, instead of criticizing, A, what took you so long? and really, 5 a.m? Who flies at that hour? You know, things like that. I said, wow. I love this. You saved us so much money. Thank you, darling. And honest to goodness, the love that blossomed into the room was palpable. You could feel it. And he felt like $1 million. And I thought, wow, I'm so glad I did my time and didn't say, what took you so long? You know, this is the conscious partnering that we have to remember. And boy, is it worth it to see your beloved so happy. Even though, you know, internally we might have been in a Martha Stewart moment.
And oh, that's fact, cute.
Whenever I get too particular sometimes with how I want something, Chet will bring up, he'll say two things. He'll say, because Martha Stewart told her ex-husband when he brought in the firewood, she said, you can't even stack wood. And so he'll bring that up and we'll laugh. And another times I'll say something, and he'll go, out of Forrest Gump, you're so smart, Jenny.
and so we
turn, like when I'm being not as kind as I should, when I, you know, a woman would understand, but when I am not using my impeccable words and really good partnering with them, we turn it into humor. And I do appreciate that so much, his understanding that way.
Well, you know, you and your husband have been together a long time. And one of the things I admire about couples who stick it out, because it's impossible to be with anyone for that many years and not go through some tough times, is that they create the relationship. I call it co-creating a relationship. So going through the tough times and working through it is why you learn to communicate with each other. You learn what the other one needs to hear. You learn how to speak to each other. Because you just said something that's so important. You know, he puffed up like the peacock. That's so important. And I just love that. And, you know, mm-hmm. I do want to say one thing that I think is really important, because what I've talked about tonight, and we haven't had a lot of people on, so the people on replay could yell at the screen and I won't hear it. But I've talked a lot about tonight, which was the theme of my show, was really about women finding ways to treat their men better. And of course, mm-hmm. because we're going to reap the benefits. And I know, because I have female friends and I've done some coaching, women always ask me the same question. Why do I have to do all the work? Why not him? Why? So I said, well, first of all, because you're the one I'm talking to, not him. But it's also because of that tendency that men don't ask for help and women do and want to make things better. And a lot of women, they won't. You know, they'll say, well, if he doesn't do the work, I'm not going to do the work, which is why the Queen's Code, I think, is a very important book, but also women like that won't be ready for. So right. All I'm going to say to all you women that are going to be listening to this in the future is, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Mm-hmm. I would rather be happy. And to be happy, I'm willing to put forth the effort to make my man happy, because I will reap the benefits. I promise you, women, you will reap the benefits. So there you go. The world, you according know, to Alice.
It's a beautiful world, that world, according to Alice. I love your insights, Alice. You know, and I want to bring up one more comment in the chat room, Alice, because it's an important one. You know, Eli, conversation was going back and forth between Laura and Tom and Eli and Jamie about, you know, how men are made up, you know, macho. And Eli said something that reminded me, which is that, you know, the guys, they don't want to look stupid. Well, they don't want to look stupid because it's part of their cultural conditioning, right? Early mm-hmm. on from mm-hmm. their fellow male, you know, their gender to not look stupid. And so that is a wonderful, wonderful thought to chew on.
That is a wonderful comment. Because I agree with what you just said. I think that if men think they look stupid, they're not looking stupid to women. They're looking, and they're probably not even looking stupid to men, but culturally, they believe that. But I'll tell you something. Out in the world in general, people are too busy with their own stuff to really be paying too much attention to us. If I do something that somebody wants to talk about, they're going to get bored with that in about 3 minutes and go on to something else. So I think that is cultural, and I think it also is men looking stupid to men. I don't think women – look, if a woman feels that way, then she doesn't deserve that man.
Mm.
Next. And she needs to watch all of Karen Ford's videos.
Karen Jones, yes, absolutely.
I mean, Karen Jones. I just, yeah. Oh, she's her little 3-minute bites. I love listening to them.
They really will have to give you great advice.
So is that any last comments or?
No, that's a wrap for another amazing show with amazing comments. And yeah, Michelle calling in. Gosh, we love you, Michelle. And Karen Jones calling in with her scrumptious advice for women. And then Alice, you bring so much joy and deeper understanding to the listeners with everything you do.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. It is my mission to, I like to say, pay it forward to all the work I've done that has made such a huge difference in my life. It feels like my journey here, my mission here, is to share that information and hopefully touch some people in some way, so that they can find some peace and joy. I feel so strongly about that. And I think this is the venue. You know, Andy, how long I've been looking for the right venue to share what I have been so gifted to, you know, I feel like such a gift was bestowed upon me that this work came at me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, on that mushy note, we go from rants to mush to she is unpredictable.
That's gotta what we love that. About her. That's what we love.
Well, with that, again, I want to thank you all. I had a great time. I think this was a fantastic show. And, you know, honestly, I feel like this show belongs to all of us because we would have no show without all of you. I mean, this is about conversation. And I just love you all so much. And I know every week I tell you how much I appreciate you. And the reason I do that is because it's really true. So with that, I would also like to thank Andy Lyons. I love your gorgeous you. And I love having you executive produce the show. It's such a joy. So I look forward to seeing you all again next week. And until then, let's not forget about our wonderful men. They are much more sensitive than they let on. And let's treat all people with respect, admiration, and generosity.
Thank you for tuning in to another lively conversation on the Ask Alice Show. Alice loves to connect with her listeners, so please join the Ask Alice Show Facebook group where you can keep the conversation going and post questions for future shows. And be sure to stay tuned in to the show by clicking the follow button right here on Blog Talk Radio and by subscribing to the Ask Alice Show YouTube channel. If you have a high-quality product or service you'd like to advertise with the Ask Alice Show audience, please email Alice's assistant, Rachel, at info@askaliceshow.com. Until next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, keep asking those questions.